Parshas below, so we're going to learn Perek Yud Beis, just a little short part, but very interesting and highly problematic just in terms of understanding what the basic words mean. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Atzdaber, Miriam, Vaharon, Moshe. Miriam and Aaron speak on Moshe, Al Ogos, Hoisha, Hakushis, Asher Lakach, regarding the Cushis woman, the woman from the land of Cush. Again, simple reading of the word. Asher Lakach. We'll have a little repetition. Asher Lakach, that he had married, Ki Isha Cushis Lakach, because he had married a Cushis woman. I think there are, I don't know, at least five or six questions in terms of trying to understand simply what the pasuk means. First one is the first word, Vatidaber Miriam Va'aron B'Moshe. If it's two people speaking, it shouldn't be written in the singular of Vatidaber, which would be Vayidabru, and they spoke. So why is it only written in the singular? What were they talking about? They spoke B'Moshe, B'Moshe, about the Cushis woman that he took. Who is this? Who's this Cushis woman? When did he marry her? We don't know anything about her. Why does the pasuk repeat the fact at the end that Ki Isha Cushis Lakach, before he married a Cushis woman? And what were they talking about? Was there a problem with him marrying the Cushis woman? What was bothering him? And why are they talking about this right now? Why suddenly did they wake up? Did he just marry her? Why suddenly did they wake up and start talking about this? And then just look at one more pasuk. Vayimru harak af Moshe diber Hashem. Did Moshe only speak to Hashem? Halo gam banu diber. Didn't he also speak to us? Vayishma Hashem and Hashem heard. It seems to be that something about whatever happened in pasuk Aleph was also had to do with their connection to Hashem. And the fact that Hashem also spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and to Miriam and Aaron, was part of somehow related to what they were saying in Pasuk Aleph. Okay? So far it's all Chazara? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, well, let's see what happens. So Rashi tells us, basically based on Chazal, tries to fill in most of the gaps in the story. So Vatadaber, Ein Dibor B'chol Mokom, El Lashon Kasha. When it says Dibor, it means a strong language. Vein Amira b'chol mokom al lashon tachanunim, and Amira is a softer language. They said something sharp against Moshe, Vatadaber Miriam v'Aaron, and they spoke against Moshe. He pascha b'dibur tzchila. So Rashi seems to be explaining why it is that it's written in the singular, Vatadaber, both of them spoke, because she began talking. She was the one that started this conversation. V'tichach ikdima kazev tzchila, and therefore she was also written first. So Rashi tells us, apparently, the problem was that he had separated from his wife. And that's a given to Rashi. So that's obvious to Rashi. But how did Miriam know this? This isn't something which people such as Tzipora, his wife, would go around talking about. So how did Moshe know, how did Miriam know that he had separated from his wife? So Rabbi Nassan says, Miriam Haisa Bitsat Tzipora, that Miriam was next to Tzipora, Bishah Shenar Mal Moshe, Eldad Umeidad Misnavim Vimachanam. That in the previous parsha, the Moshe had just gotten 70 Zekanim and now joined with him. They received Nevuah, but Eldad Umeidad continued to say Nevuah afterwards. The spirit was somehow very strong with them, and somebody came to tell Moshe that what was going on. Kevan Sheshama Tzipora, when Tzipora heard this Amra, she said, Oyli Nishoseyem Shel Elu, woe unto their wives, Imhem Nizkakim Nevuah, if they're going to be prophets. Sheyiyu Parshin Minishoseyem Keder Shepiresh Bali Mimani, that their husbands are going to separate from them the same way my husband separated from me. So she kind of just said it in passing. Umisham Yoda Miriam, and that's how Miriam knew it. Vigidal Aaron, and she told it to Aaron. And then Rashi tells us a little bit of a moral to the story. Uma Miriam so is kavna lignoso, that Miriam obviously wasn't just trying to, spread lashon hara to speak poorly about her brother. She wanted to rectify the situation, and she wanted to make sure that Tzipora would be taken care of. And yet kach nensha, she was punished with saras later on. Kavachomer was saper lignoso shechaveiro. So certainly one who for the sake of speaking disparagingly against somebody else does so, how much worse will be that person's lot? So Rashi's already answered a bunch of the questions. Why this parsha is said here is because Eldad Amedad immediately preceded the parsha. Why Miriam is the focus of the story is because she started it. And he seems to be telling us that the topic was the fact that Moshe had separated from Tzipora. Now, the major question that's still left is, so why does the Torah call her Hoisha HaKushis, the woman from Kush? So Rashi tries to answer that now, also based on Chazal, Hoisha HaKushis, Magid teaches us Shakom Modim B'Yofya, that everybody agrees and everybody knows that she's beautiful, Kishem Shakom Modim B'Shechuso Shakushi, the same way that everybody can agree and everybody realizes that a black person is black, somebody from Kush is black. So too, it's equally obvious that she is beautiful. Okay. Not the, so what's the connection? What's the connection?
So let's call her Kushi.
So that's question I think Rashi understands is still open. Is that okay? Everybody agreed to this, but it could have just called her the woman who's like the sun, and just like the sun, everybody agrees the sun is hot, or the sun is bright, the sun is yellow, whatever it is. So to everybody, so why Kushis? So that's the next Rashi. Kushis the gematria yifas maret. There's a hint to the fact that she was beautiful in the word Kushis, because the gematria, I didn't do the math, but we'll take Rashi's word for it. The gematria of yifas maret, being beautiful, is equals the same as Kushis. So,
but why not just say she's beautiful?
Why not just say she's beautiful? Well, we have other times for the Torah. The Torah doesn't have trouble in Bereshit saying it. I guess it was more, again, maybe more muskum and more to show that it was even agreed upon more readily than maybe the other times the Torah says it. But yeah, this is going to be a problem that's left, and we'll see how the other mefarshim understand. But this approach of Chazal is difficult in that why did the Torah suddenly here do it? Especially because we know the Torah knows how to say the word Tzipora. The Torah has said it before. And then Alodotoy.
Especially because she's talking Lashon Hara, so she's obviously saying something negative. So why would they say Ha'isha Kushi?
Well, she wasn't saying this. She certainly wasn't saying something negative.
Oh my God, I can't wait Moshe Mariah, this beautiful woman. Like that doesn't mean a negative connotation.
How do you know that?
Because she's punished.
No, but what was the criticism? Was the criticism of Tzipora or the criticism was of Moshe? The Lashon Hara was about Moshe. It seems to be, again, especially according to the Rashi earlier that said that her intention was positive, was that in terms of Tzipora, she wanted everything to be better for Tzipora. She liked Tzipora. She had no problems with her. The problem is the way her brother was treating her.
So then why was there any description of her at all? That's what I'm saying.
Instead of her name.
Why is there an adjective?
Yeah.
Right.
Why is there any adjective? Whatever the adjective is. What does the adjective have to do with anything if all she's talking about is the fact that he separated from her? It should have just been he separated from his wife.
Correct. That's part of the difficulty in this interpretation. We'll see others take it in completely different directions. Could be you guys know that already, but others take it in wild
connotation.
There's some, again, reading it right now the way Rashi explained it, there's absolutely nothing negative about this comment. It's all positive. But the question is why was it necessary? Why say anything and why not just identify her by her name? Alodos Gerusheha. So now about the woman becomes about the separating from this woman. And now Rashi tries to explain the other question that we had, which is why does the Torah repeat Ki Isha Kushis Lakach, that he married a Kushis woman? It just said about the Kushis woman that he married. So Rashi says, Ma Tamalum, what's that coming to teach us? El Yishtha Isha Na Biyafya Vena Na Bimasei. Sometimes you have a woman who's externally beautiful, but her midos aren't so nice. Or Abdi Masav, Lo Biyofi, a woman of beautiful midos, and not be so beautiful externally. Avozos Na Bakol. The Torah repeats the fact that she was beautiful to say that she was beautiful inside and outside. Very nice story. Okay. Hoisha Kushis.
She's the one that's, I mean, you keep saying that Miriam started. She really complained.
Right. It's not clear what her intention was, but that kind of just kind of.
Being, right?
Right. Whether she just kind of, you know, was saying it to herself and Miriam overheard it. It wasn't clear. Again, the context the way Rashi gives over the story was, you know, she heard what happened to these men are now going to be Nevi'im. She's like, oh man,
yeah.
I feel bad for their wives. So did she mean to tell that to Miriam? Was she just saying that? Was she trying to advise them, maybe, you know, get them to snap out of it because you're going to lose your husband? Correct. But, right. It wasn't, but again, I'll tell you, she's also the one involved in the story. So again, if she thinks that, if she had thought that Miriam could somehow help her, then it certainly isn't a negative from her perspective, but, right. But it's interesting, even, look at the number of Rashis on the Kushiyas. It's not meaning, it's obvious that Rashi understood that there was something, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Rashis on the word Kushiyas in this pasuk. Rashi certainly was sensitive to the fact that there's something going on here, but he tried to keep it again within the basic model of Chazal to try and understand what's going on. Again, the repetition seems to be for some sort of emphasis, but it's not 100% clear why the Torah did this. How to explain the pasuk, how the Torah did it, we understand. But why the Torah did it is still not clear. Now, the opposite extreme, and presumably bothered by much of what Rashi had said, is what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says that Ki Yishak Kushis Lakach tells us Kedirsiv B'Divre Hayomim, that it tells us in Divrei Hayomim. It doesn't mean here Divrei Hayomim, the Sefer of Tanakh. It means this is like a storybook written down of stories related to the life of Moshe. The Moshe Rabbeinu, the Divrei Hayomim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemalach be'eretz Kush Arboim Shana, that while Moshe, again, you have to remember that there's a large portion of Moshe Rabbeinu's life that we know nothing about. From the time that he was basically 20 until he was 80, we don't know anything. We know he left Mitzrayim, then we know he came back from Mitzrayim. And presumably, we assume that he was in Midian taking care of sheep for those 60 years, but we don't know that. As far as we know, many stories happen, and different Midrashim record many of those stories. So one of the stories that's brought down is that he was the king of the land of Cush for 40 years. The Lokach Malka Achas, and he took for himself a queen from the land of Cush. The Lo Shachav Imah, and he never consummated that marriage, he never laid with her. Kamosha Kasu Sham, that's not what the story says. So now, when it says, Alados Hoyishah Kushiyas Asher Lakach, it's talking about the woman from Cush that he married.
Yes,
right? The one that Moshe took for a wife.
Before Tzvara?
No.
Isn't Rashbam usually the most...
Pshat, exactly.
So this is Pshat?
So that's what's fascinating. This Rashbam is fascinating. In terms of this Pasuk, again, in terms of this Pasuk, the simplest reading of the Pasuk is that Moshe married a woman from the land of Cush.
Past tense. Not now.
Not now, well, this minute, at some point. At some point. At some point. At some point. We don't know when. Probably after he married Zipporah. That seems to have taken place at the beginning of the story of having left Mitzrayim. So what's interesting is that the Rashbam does seem to be trying to stick to the simplest understanding of the word. The word is Tisha Kushis Lakach. Why else would the Torah call Zipporah the Kushis woman? So we have those Chazals, but we were bothered by that. We didn't understand that so much. It was still difficult. So the Rashbam, in learning Pashup Shat, in the simplest understanding, says, no, he must admit that he married this other woman. And now he says, V'heim lo yadu k'shedibru bo shlo nizkak la. Zehu ikar pshuto. And he says that when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe, they didn't realize that he had never consummated that marriage. So apparently, whatever they were complaining about was only because they thought that she was his full-fledged wife. And that if they had known that he kind of just took her as like a figurehead because he was, you know, king of the land of Cush, how could he not have a queen who was from the land of Cush? So then they wouldn't have had any problems. And then the Rashbam says what the problems he was bothered by. She'em bishvil Tzipora dibro, because if they were talking about Tzipora, matzorok lefarish ki yishakushis lakach. Why is it talking about yishakushis? It should be talking about Tzipora. We know that she's from the land of Midian. That's what we know about her. Okay. And there's no way to be able to say that Cush comes from Midian. So what's fascinating about this Rashbam is, again, the Rashbam is learning the simple pshat, but the Rashbam feels the need to support it with the Medrash. Rashbam on his own sounds like he almost hesitated to say that this pasuk is saying that he married this woman from Cush, until he says, well, we have this story of Moshe having been the king of Cush. Had it not been from that story, it's not clear from the Rashbam that he would have been so willing to say that this is the simple pshat in the pasuk, even though in terms of the words it is. And the reason that's fascinating is because the Rashbam and other places and other Mefarshim say that those stories don't have very strong sources to them. And as far as Midrashim go, we don't have the same Mesorah in terms of them being as accurate as many of the other Midrashim that we have. So he rejects the Midrashim that are more soundly rooted in our Mesorah of Rashi, which according to those Midrashim, the simple understanding of the Chumash is harder to understand, but he goes with the simple understanding which is supported by the more far-fetched Medrash. Which again, I guess, and if you're going to do a full study on the Rashbam, is just very interesting. And it could be in the end he would have said it on his own, and maybe he just felt this was an additional support, at least there's some sort of story out there, so nobody's going to think that I'm completely crazy for saying that Moshe Rabbeinu had a second wife. And then, according to that, he has to understand, so what's the next pasuk? The pasuk beis, Vayimru harak ach v'moshe diber Hashem elo gam banu diber v'yishma Hashem, that they seem to be complaining that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did had something to do with the fact that Hashem speaks to us also. What does that have to do with the fact that he married a woman from Kush? So the Rashbam says, Vayimru harak ach v'moshe klomar ozos amru ha-moshe. Once they started complaining about Moshe, they complained about a completely separate issue. Pasuk Beis has nothing to do with Pasuk Aleph, other than the fact that once they were talking about Moshe, they went from from topic to topic. Then they said, "Why does Moshe think he's greater than us? He speaks to us also." It's very interesting because he has to, again, the balance of trying to figure out what is the simplest shot isn't so easy in this particular case.
Right. I'm saying it's because of
Nebuah,
but we also get
Nebuah. Right.
Could go.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's terrible. But, and then we also need to figure out, what was Miriam, again, if Miriam and Aaron in their heads thought that she was the full-fledged wife, what were they bothered by? Was it that it's inappropriate for him to have a wife from the land of Cush? He's marrying, out of Bnei Yisrael? Again, although he married a Midianist woman also, who also wasn't the exact same as everybody else. Or was it that he took a second wife? That he had already married Zippor, he took the second wife from Cush, but if she wasn't a full-fledged wife, that didn't bother them. Maybe then they understood that maybe he was just taking it as taking her as some sort of, right.
And then again, why now?
Right, and that's what's difficult according to the Rashbam also, is why now? Though the answer would be, may not have the answer to the why now, but maybe the pasuk is trying to answer that, because according to the Rashbam, why does it repeat ki shakushis lakach? So the Rashbam will say the reason that it repeats it is because we didn't know it. The Torah tells us that Miriam is, if we had just had a pasuk, but the Ber Miriam v'Aron Moshe those way shah shugish l'asher lakach. Miriam and Aaron spoke at Moshe about the Cushite woman that he had taken. We're all going to be asking, what do you mean? He never married a woman from Cush. So the Torah here has to fill in, since, again, not every story of
Moshe and Aaron. Why are Aaron and Miriam talking about it now?
Right. We're not going to know whether it was something. Right. That's left. We might have an answer. We might have an answer for that soon. But Rashbam himself doesn't really give an answer for that. Good. So that's Rashbam's approach. The Ibn Ezra quotes what Rashi says based on Chazal that are talking about Tzipora, and he quotes what the Rashbam says that it's talking about this other woman from Cush, and he sort of has a compromise between them. He says, he says that it's talking about Tzipora, because he's not willing to go all the way out the same way that the Rashbam went out, but he still wants to justify the simple pshat in the pasuk. So he's left with trying to understand why is it that Torah refers to Tzipora as the Isha Kushis, not just why it would refer to her as that, but why would it refer to her specifically here, when in other places it's referred to her, the Torah is referred to her as Tzipora. So again, if you want to accept Rashi that we're talking about Tzipora, you need to understand those two issues. Why did the Torah switch the words? So Ibn Ezra explains that the people of Cush, I'm sorry, says Vayosha Beinai Shazoha Kusha Sitzipor. We're talking about Tzipor. Kihi Midyanis, because she was from Midyan. Umidyanim Heim Yishmaelim, and the Midyanim were a group of Yishmaelim. Veheim Darim Ba'aleim, and they're constantly living in their tents. Ubavur Chom Hashemesh, and because the sun beats down so strongly in the desert when they're in their, and they're constantly in their tents. Ein lohem olavan klal. Their skin is not white at all. The tzipora haitha shchora. I guess maybe the heat of the tent is rising. You know, they being stuck inside. You're like, in a greenhouse. I don't know. Temperature gets even higher.
You don't get tan from being inside.
You can through a tent, like through your clothes. You can.
That's well, then why did the Jews get tan through their tents?
They found they spent more time. There you go.
That's what the Ibn Ezra said.
So it calls her a Kushis because that was her skin color. Okay, now we're left with one question. So why here
and, why
and now? Because she was from Midian. She was the only Midianist. So she looked different than everybody else.
But she hasn't been in Midian for years.
She's still dark. Still dark.
What she's been living.
It zapped all the pigments out of her permanently.
I called her the dark woman, but okay, fine.
So the question is why? But why does it call her that?
Skin.
It's right. True. Fine. Good. So now you explained the simple shot. Okay. But why does it say that? Why does it refer to her twice in this pasuk as Tisha Kushiz Hashelakot, says the Ibn Ezra, that. Again, a similar story to Chazal, that the assumption is that there was something about the fact that they had separated was the topic of conversation. And he says, that it was this issue of, you know, woe unto the women who were married to these Nevi'im. Moshe, they thought, Miriam and Aaron thought that the reason that Moshe had separated from Tzipor had nothing to do with Nevuah, as supported by Pasuk Beis, because in Pasuk Beis they said, Hashem talks to us also, we didn't separate from our spouses. Rather, Binechashti Moshe Kilo Nimna Lishka Vim Tzipor Rak Ba'avur She'enena Yofa. The opposite of Chazal, that because she looked different, he wasn't attracted to her. And therefore, that's why Moshe separated, and that was their criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, again,
don't get too tan.
So, what it does again? So there are a few things that happen. What the Ibn Ezra, in terms of trying to understand the pasuk, what the Ibn Ezra does is very good. Meaning, he's trying to bridge this gap between. What the holes that we were still bothered by in terms of Chazal, in terms of understanding that I was talking about Tzipora, without going on to, you know, far-flung stories, he does this. What it's left with is either they had a very shallow vision of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu cared. And what the Al-Sheikh says, when the Al-Sheikh very strongly disagrees with this, and he said, so why now? When he married her, he knew what she looked like. Why didn't he, if he didn't like her, so get rid of her before they got married? He didn't have to marry her. He could have married somebody else. Why suddenly, you know, did he have a midlife crisis? And, you know, okay, you know, she's not beautiful anymore. I'm moving on to the next one. If you take the Rashbam.
Oh, that was
right, that's only one wife, according to this. That was their criticism. And so that's why some of them in Parshim very vehemently are opposed to what the Ibn Ezra says. So again, I think we can appreciate what the Ibn Ezra was trying to do in terms of understanding the simple understanding. And again, the truth is that it was wrong. This is just what Miriam and Aaron's perspective was. But the fact that they could even think this about Moshe Rabbeinu, that their brother, they understood
Wait,
it, they were in a
what was wrong?
That he left her.
No, that he left her because of this. He left her because of the Nevuah. Oh,
right.
Which is what Hashem proves to them later on in the story when he calls them all out in the middle of the night and they have to purify themselves because they had been with their spouses and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that problem. And Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu is different than you and you have to realize that. That's what was wrong. But again, what's difficult about what Ibn Ezra says is what's the Havamina? What were Miriam and Aaron thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu would possibly abandon his wife just because he didn't like the way she looked, and what is the fact that she was Kushi had to do with it? So again, many very, very vehemently are opposed to what the Ibn Ezra says. In passing, the Aruch Chaim points out, it's an interesting point, which is that this conversation, whatever the conversation is, did this happen in front of Moshe Rabbeinu or behind Moshe Rabbeinu's back? And the Aruch Chaim says that the whole thing took place in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, which again makes it more difficult in terms of seeing how could they say this, but it also makes you appreciate more that the intentions of Miriam and Aaron were really to give criticism. It wasn't just to talk about him for the sake of talking about Moshe. It was to tell him, no, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be treating your wife. You should be treating your wife like properly, like a wife, right?
But then does that count as lashon hara if you're saying it in front of him?
So it might not be. It might not be in terms of hilchos lashon hara if you're saying. That's one of the terms that's often given. Is that if you really say it in front of the person, but you still have to know how to say it. And also, again, what the original Rashi, I think, was pointing out was that on the level of Miriam and Aaron, it could be that they were taken to task for something that for other people might have been okay. The Abar Benel tries to also have a little bit of a middle ground where he tries to also explain that we were not talking about a different woman, rather talking about Zippora. And he says as follows. He says that from Miriam and Aaron's perspective, there were only three possible reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife at this point. He says the first is that was that her looks, like what it just says, like what the Ibn Ezra said. One, in terms of being a possibility, it's one possibility. She looked different. She was darker. He didn't like it. He wasn't attracted to her, and he dumped her. Okay, it's one. It's a possibility. The second one is his nevuah, which is what the
second. Say that.
Yeah.
That's like Avi Carson.
I hear. Okay, what's that?
Avi Carson.
I know it's a very difficult shot, absolutely. But he says there are three possible. That's one possible reason. The second one is because his nevuah, he thought he needed to separate because he was an Avi. And the third was just that he was this anav, he's this very meek person, and he doesn't care about olam hazeh, he's not interested in physical pleasure. So he had no reason to be living with his wife anymore. Those were the three possible reasons. Again, Miriam hears the story, incorporating it within Chazal's picture. Miriam hears the story from Tzipor, the Moshe has separated from her, and she has no idea why. So she thinks, and Tzipor seems to at least have connected it to the nevuah, because she says, woe unto these wives. But she figures, okay, there are three possible reasons. And he says that all the three are supported by the psukim. Because he says it's not the Torah referring to her as the Isha Kushis. He says that's Miriam talking. It's about the Ber Miriam V'Arabim Moshe. This is the way they're referring to her. So that was one hint to the fact that that was one thing that was a possibility in the mind of Miriam. That's why the Torah refers to her as the Isha Kushis. It's because that's what Miriam was thinking, that maybe that was one possibility. The second one is what the next pasuk says. Does he only speak to Moshe? The nevuah is to everybody. Is to me and Aaron also. So there shouldn't be any different. And further supported by that is that, you know, the way to live a life, even for a Navi, what you see from our lives is not to separate from that which is physical. We don't have such a concept of, you know, of celibacy and being completely separate from Olam Hazeh. And what he says...
I don't know. I feel like I've come far enough in my learning.
Okay.
That you can't say that being separate from your wife is a greater way to live.
Exactly. That was what their taino was.
But meaning, but you're saying that if it was so that he wasn't attached to this world, that doesn't. I don't know.
That was their criticism.
Okay.
Is that we don't have such a concept of being of separating from olam hazeh to that point, because both family life is essential.
Right. Maybe that's why they thought he wasn't attracted to her anymore.
Maybe. So what in the end, what's the real reason that he separated? See, he says some... we'll see that in one second. What he says is like this. He says something which at least explains a little bit more what's going on. He says, Ain Safek, what was the real reason? This is the Abar Benel. The Abar Benel says the real reason that Moshe Rabbeinu separated says in suffix shaita siba safrada azos beemes. The reason is the true reason. Shemin hayom sheyasha Moshe bahar arboim yom barboim laila. Once Moshe went through the experience of having been 40 days, 40 nights on top of Har Sinai, not having eaten, nothing drinking, basically living a different existence. Then nifrad sichlo migufo hafrada muflegas. He achieved a separation of spirit and body that doesn't exist for anybody else and didn't exist and maybe will never exist for anybody else. And that's why it's at this juncture but it's only after the point of Matan Torah that this tiny exists and that Moshe Rabbeinu is separated from his wife. And he says, "Blo haya od rival lechem lo tzom lo mayim." He didn't have a desire to eat, to drink, to be with his wife, nothing. And Miriam and Aaron misunderstood that the reasons were one of these three other reasons. And Hashem basically confirms that the type of nevuah that he had is something completely different. It will never happen again. And that's why Moshe is different.
This makes sense.
That's good, right?
This makes sense.
I just wanted to conclude with something from Yosef Ibn Kazbi. Now we had a very interesting of Yosef Ibn Kazbi and months ago about Yaakov kissing Rachel, and at the time I mentioned that I don't know exactly what kind of cloud he has. He was one of the Rishonim, but we really only have his, in terms of what's left of him, really only his parish on Chumash. Usually we have, you know, other Sfarim and Halachas and things like that. So again, exactly what weight he carries, I don't know 100%. But the language with which he writes here is something which is almost mind-boggling, and it's something that maybe in the deep recesses of our minds, sometimes we think things like this, but we certainly never say them, and to hear them the way he says them, I think is important. Yeah, he says like this. He basically is commenting directly on Rashi's from a statement, on Rashi's understanding of from Chazal. Says Amar Yosef, I say Yosef says, "Mafli ani al akadmonim." I wonder about the earlier ones. Shleimim him kula mimeni. They're all greater than I am, more complete than I am. Lo agia lepirsas kafraglaim. I don't come to the bottom of their feet. Eich nafa leolam bidimyonam. How did they possibly imagine to explain a pasuk the opposite of the way that it's written? In case to add in words that are opposite. Where do they know that kushis means beautiful? It's not the definition of the word. Where do they come? The definitions of play on words, it's very poetic, but his play on words is that it's like the difference between black and white. It's the words have nothing to do with each other. Kush just means a person from Kush. Beautiful is beautiful. Where does he criticize Unklus and Chazal and Rashi? Where did they get this from? Where does he know to come to add words? It says that he married a woman from Kush. And they explained it, that he divorced her. The Torah says that he married a Cushish woman. And now the whole discussion is about the fact that he divorced her. It says, where do they, right? It says, about the Cushish woman, for he married, he took a Cushish woman. Says, they're all explaining that he took a Cushish woman and then he divorced her. It's the opposite. Where do they come along and explain things this way? If this was the intent of the one who gave the Torah, lama lo kasav kein? So why didn't he write it? Umadu alo nasa kein anachlis. Why don't we do the same thing? Vishayasher veinav yasin. Everybody will do whatever they think is right. Achinachlif, until we'll switch. V'yahav das Hashem elokecha, the commandment to love God. V'amarnu chalila v'sanesa das Hashem elokecha. We'll just reinterpret it. It doesn't say to love God, it says to hate God. Anything God says he loves, so we'll just reinterpret it and say that it's something that we don't like. And he goes on and on and on. I can't possibly do something like this. I'm going to abandon the Torah of Moshe for this new Torah that you're explaining in these new ways that don't have any root in the words. I should start reinterpreting Sukkim the same way they do. And therefore I say, therefore what has to be, just based on the words of the Pasuk, the Pshat in the Pasuk, it has to be that it's referring to a woman from Cush. When it says that he took a Cushis woman, it means he took a wife. At this moment, right now, Moshe Rabbeinu married a new woman who was from the land of Cush. Fine, and explains that grammatically. This is what happened. Ki Moshe, after he married Tzipora, and this has nothing to do with Tzipora. Tzipora has nothing to do with this pasuk, according to what Ibn Kazbi is saying right now. After he had married her, Lokach Isha Kushis al Tzipora. He took an additional wife to Tzipora, this woman from the land of Cush.
But he's not saying that she's
Yadahu Alav Hashalom. For some reason, that Moshe Rabbeinu knew. And he didn't divorce her, he took her. Yeah, he took her. We're going to start asking why Moshe Rabbeinu did this. He was smarter than all of us. We're not going to figure out why he did this. We don't know the exact moment that this marriage took place. Now when they were traveling, maybe it was a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, we don't know when. It had never been mentioned in the Torah before. A lot of things happened at that time, and the Torah doesn't give us every single detail. And because of that, because it wasn't mentioned until now, therefore it says, about the Cushite woman, he took a Cushite woman. We've never heard about this. So, therefore the repetition in the Pasuk, you should know, that he had taken a wife from Cush. Then, skipping a little bit, and that's what they were talking about Moshe. Vosifo Isha Alisha. Moshe, where do you come along? Taking a second wife. Kidai la'achas l'isha sholim. The complete man only requires one woman. The Inyan ha'amru harak.
Did that change?
Yeah.
So he mentions a little bit. 1 second. Rabbeinu Geshem got rid of it.
Yeah, like 1800.
No, much earlier. Harak Ach, and that's what they're saying, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he only speaks to him. Shelo Danu Zel Moshe Mitzad Yisaro and Chachma Leim. They didn't view this as some sort of extension of Moshe Rabbeinu's wisdom, that he thought this was appropriate. Achinela Mehem Mashagolu Le Moshe, and it was hidden to them, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu's real reasons was. Ritzono Sibas Osavazos, why he did this. Osoda Chachma Bar, some deeper meaning that he had to it. And they completely compared themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu because they also had Nevuah. And that was their mistake. So that's how he understands it. Again, so
I like this.
The two important points that he makes, one is just to notice the language that he uses, which, again, I think somebody would write that nowadays. We would quickly dispose of him from our camp. But again, the Rishonim did speak very sharply to each other. And he was coming for Kavod HaTorah. He just said, how can it be that they misinterpret? Now, why can't understand that there was some sort of Kabbalah that he tries to explain that it can't be the Kabbalah to completely change the words? Why did the Torah do it? I think Rashi is going to say that sometimes that's how drushes are, and then Chazal did have a Mesorah. On his own, maybe Rashi wouldn't have said this whole thing, but Rashi is rooted in the Midrashim. But in terms of his understanding, he understands like the Rashbam, and what he gains is that he understands like the Rashbam that we are talking about a woman from Cush, but he doesn't need that support from that far-flung story. He's not interested in the far-flung story, because it happens right now. And that helps put together a lot of other pieces of the story. And then the basic criticism towards Moshe Rabbeinu is, what are you doing to your wife? You have no right. You're married. You're happily married to this woman. Why are you taking a second wife? And they somehow understood that since they were Nevi'im, and that's the second pasuk is saying, that since they were Nevi'im, they had the same amount of understanding as Moshe Rabbeinu, and that wasn't true. And that was the problem, that Hashem was saying, no. And for whatever reason, in this case, again, the same way that in the case of Yaakov and Abraham, there were other times when it was appropriate to take more than one wife. That's not the norm. And they understood that wasn't the norm. But again, for these people who were either the founders of Klal Yisrael or who had deeper understandings that this was necessary for them, That was what Moshe, that was what Miriam and Aaron were missing, and that's what they were punished for. So again, I think there's a few very different understandings of the Pesukim. Either it's talking about Tzipora, and like Rashi said, that it was all because of the Nevuah, and the Kushis was just because of the Midos. Like Ibn Ezra said that it's talking about Tzipora, and the Kushis was because that was her skin color, and they thought that he threw her out because she wasn't attractive. The Rashbam, who said, no, it has to be that we're talking about a woman from Kush, and he supports it with the story that Moshe Rabbeinu was king of Kush for a while, but that marriage never actually was consummated, it was never fully realized, there was no reason for the criticism. Like the Abarbanel says that it's talking about Tzipora, and they misunderstood that, and what they didn't understand was that after 40 days and 40 nights in Har Sinai, that Moshe Rabbeinu had a completely different existence than anybody else, and therefore separated from his wife. Or the way Ibn Qazi wants to say that it is talking about a Cushite woman, he married her at this point, and the criticism was how can you take a second wife, and their mistake was that they were not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu to really appreciate why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu had the right to do this.